Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. Today, actually, I'm in beautiful Mount Shasta, California. Unfortunately, though, there's been a lot of fires here, and we'll be going into that in a few minutes. But it's still a beautiful place and a very special place. I have a group of people with me here, where we'll be visiting people from Telos and the Hollow Earth, as well as seeing Sasquatch and all kinds of interesting things here later today. The purpose of Out of This World Radio is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world, with over 200,000 listeners in over 80 countries. During the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be interviewing Simon Parks, my good friend from England. Simon's a fascinating gentleman. He's been in contact with extraterrestrials his entire life, and we'll have a lot of really interesting things to talk about today. During the first 30 minutes from 3 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., I'll have Judy Calley, who is one of America's best psychics. She'll be bringing in Adama and other spirits from Telos and the Hollow Earth. And so that should be a really fascinating show. And then the last half hour, from 3:30 to 4 p.m., I'll bring in my good friend Brian Tillman.
Tillman.
He's with me here. He's another psychic. And I also have a wonderful group of people all the way from Mexico, from Canada, from, we'll be coming in tomorrow from Germany, England, Ireland, Russia, New Zealand, and a host of other countries. I'm broadcasting today from the Mount Shasta Library, and if you are in the area, please stop by. I want to thank everyone so much for their support of this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the top right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I also would really like to thank Corey and Saul and Cortland for their generous support, and everyone around the world who helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing wonderful support. My friends in the Galactic Alliance, who've been supporting my show, and I know who are listening today. My angelic and earthly family, and of course, Eric at KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339, or on my cell at 509-750-9793. Briefly, I wanted to tell you that my next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held in Olympia, Washington, at the same location it was before, at 9101 Silicon Road, Southeast in Olympia, from April 12th to the 16th. If you register before the end of December, the cost is just $55 for the entire conference. If you wait until January 1st next year, the cost will go up to $125. In addition, I'm here at Mount Shasta, California. I'll be here until the 12th of September with a group of people. We're visiting Telos and the Hollow Earth and seeing Sasquatch. I've been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta and the Hollow Earth for the last 2 years, and it's a wonderful opportunity for people to visit the Hollow Earth if you like. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The cost is only $200, and there are certain spiritual protocols you have to follow before coming, but if you're interested in coming this year or next, just send me an email. I wanted to tell you about some wonderful fairs that are going on. I'm sponsoring a Galactic Wisdom Conference Psychic Fair in Olympia on September 29th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's free, and the address is 9101 Stillicum Road. I hope you can come. Then on November 10th, we'll have another Psychic and Haro Fair with Michiko Hayashi from the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. She'll be giving Haro sessions. That's on November 10th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then again on March 9th, I'll be having another psychic fair at the same location. All three events are free. And if you're interested, please come. And with that, what I'd love to do is talk to my good friend Simon. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. I'm doing very well, thank you. And you seem to be spending half your life at Mount Shasta.
Well, you're funny.
Well, I think I'm just saying that there are very few people who are dedicated to taking groups to spiritual locations, and it's one of perhaps one of the most sacredest places on the earth, and it's great that you're actually able to do it, and you do it for such a reasonable price as well.
Well, thank you so much for saying that, Simon. It's only $200 per person, and the purpose of the program is of the is the trip is to raise consciousness. And as I look around the people here today, we must have, what, at least 1,000? Would you say 2,000 people here? No, actually, we've probably got about 25 or so, 30. But they have such all beautiful hearts and spirits, and they're all here to make this planet a better place, and their hearts in the right spots, you know. But as my friend Anthony from Los Angeles just told me a minute ago, today's your birthday, Simon, so we have to sing you a happy birthday song. Simon, are you there?
Yes, I'm waiting for my song.
Okay, let's sing. Okay, everyone, on the count of one, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Simon. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Thank
We
you.
have people, like, our pleasures, and we have people from Ukraine, Los Angeles, Mexico City, let's see. Oh, sorry. Los Angeles, Seattle, New Zealand. Let's see, what planet are you from, Jason? What again?
Far away.
Far, he's from far away. He won't tell us where the planet comes from, Canada. But we've got a wonderful group of people here, and we wanted to wish you a very happy birthday, Simon. So,
Well, I was just wanted to thank everyone for that. That's so very kind of you. Thank you. And it's great, Ted, because over the course of the work I do through Skype, I often meet people who've been on your trips, and everyone I've spoken to has had something specific or unusual happen to them. So, nobody that I've spoken to have said, "Oh, well, that was boring," or "That was a waste of time." Everyone that I've spoken to has said, "Well, that was well worth it. I got something out of that." So that's excellent that, throughout the spiritual community, there are people there who are doing a wide range of things, whether it's going up Mount Shasta with you or listening to me or doing anything else. And that means that people are widely experiencing, and that's very important. The noise behind me, if you can hear me, is one of my new kittens who's not very well. And is in a little pen at the moment and desperately wants to come out, and I might have to get him out in a minute.
Poor animal. Well, listen, we want to wish you our best to your beautiful kitten there. And I wanted to tell you that I've had a lot of people writing me asking all kinds of questions, of course, Simon, for me to ask you on the air. And also, too, I saw your post a couple days ago, where one of the posts you mentioned the new Supreme Court nominee for the United States, and about military tribunals, and you had a very interesting comment about that, if you would mind caring to clarify.
Right. If the audience have got a little bit of spare time, they might go visit my website, simon.park.org. And if you have a look at that, I've put up the second day of Judge Kavanaugh's, it's not an interview as such, but it's his work with the Senate, where the Senate ask him lots of questions, and then they decide on the voting whether they want him or not. Kavanaugh is President Trump's nominee for one of the Supreme Judges. And if people on the second day go to the official, obviously, post, and you go to 3 hours, 2 minutes, and 30 seconds, and you watch and listen from that point, right through to 3 hours and 4 minutes and 53 seconds. So I'm only asking you to listen to 2 minutes worth. Right. You'll hear a very interesting statement from one of the Republican senators who is speaking to Judge Kavanaugh. Now, within that time frame, perhaps people can write it down, at 3 hours and 4 minutes exactly to 3 hours and 4 minutes and 15 seconds exactly, the senator asks Judge Kavanaugh what his understanding of the law is in regard to an American citizen in another country. And what they both agree on is that that American citizen in another country has the Constitution and the amendment rights that protect him or her against his own country, which is the United States, but sure. doesn't protect that person against the foreign government. But then between the 3 hours and 4 minutes and 3 hours and 4 minutes and 15 seconds, the senator says, what about the situation where a person turns against their own government? Now, this was a coded message saying basically that if you want to try to bring down the president, then there will be military tribunals. Right. So I didn't sit through 12 or 15 hours of this simply because I didn't have the time, but I was told that the Republican senator was sending a message to what we call the deep state or the cabal or whatever you want to use it. And I was given these times that this was the times I needed to listen to, because it was the warning to the bad guys that if they wish to cause really serious issues, this will happen. So I hope the audience get a chance to go and listen to that. It was really, really important. So that's what my posting was about.
Okay, interesting, interesting. Also, too, I saw a posting about the British-Russian relationship has been the lowest since the late 70s and early 80s. I hope things improve, you know, because there's a lot of good people in Russia. There's a lot of good people, of course, in England. And there's a lot of good people in America. There's a lot of good people in Canada. Everywhere around the world is good people. And I think there's more good people than there are people who want the conflict. So I hope things can improve between Britain and Russia soon.
Yeah, it's all a ridiculous political game because, you know, while that's going on and Britain is a very big player in North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, which obviously has America as the biggest supporter. And amongst those countries are France and Italy and Germany and Spain, many, many others. You have the Chancellor of Germany doing a deal with President Putin to bring a very special gas pipeline directly from Russia straight through to Germany, providing gas that doesn't go through Saudi Arabia. So on one hand, you have a NATO country basically attacking Russia. And on the other hand, you've got a NATO country doing a massive financial deal with Russia. This is the ridiculousness of the politics that is being played out for newspapers, television stations, other media outlets. It's all part of a huge game. And frankly, you know, I'm shocked that people who are supposed to be very busy in government have got so much time on their hands that they can invent all these stupid games. And there's the rest of us who don't get paid anything like this sort of wages, running around half killing ourselves. So it's obviously good to be a leader in government because you get all this free time to make things up. So I wanted to share that with people again, simply because I wanted to say, look, this is a drama that's being played out. It's a television play. It's just literally to take your attention off certain other topics. The real topic at the moment is the situation in the United States of America, where two sides are squaring up to basically decide which side is going to be victorious. Will it be those that want to maintain the Constitution and go back to the good old Constitution, or will it be those that want to rewrite the Constitution because they don't want to be constrained by the laws of the Founding Fathers? And that is where it will go, and that is why the military now is beginning to push President Trump to start being less covert and to be more overt. And remember when Trump was interviewed, it's only a week ago or so, and it seems much longer, where he basically said, if anyone tries to impeach me, there will be a revolution in this country. And basically what he's saying is, if anyone tries to impeach me, the military will declare martial law. Now, it's very interesting that after his statement, the calls for impeachment almost stopped, because that message hit home. And what we're seeing is a waste of government time. One side says something, the other side responds, and it's actually not very helpful. But that's where we're at, and it's really important that the American people understand that their country is going through one of the most important changes that it's ever had.
Well, that's very profound, Simon, and that's why I love having you on my show. You always have the greatest insight on things. One of the things I remember that Benjamin Franklin said before he passed away, he said that we gave you a republic to the American people. We gave you a republic if you can keep it. And so, and I hope that the people in this country, great country, will keep the Constitution. It served us well for over 200 years, and there's no reason to change it. There's good reasons why it was a document. I looked at the U.S. Constitution as an eternal document. Sure, it can be interpreted different ways, but it served the people well, and it's a sign of democracy that that needs to continue. So, thanks for those so much for those insights. Appreciate it, Simon.
Sure.
We have some questions here from my audience here, and then I've got about a whole bunch of questions came in from around the world. So we'll try to get to everyone as much as we can. Here's a question from Maria in Mexico. Here's one. Okay, she says, how can we stop the weather control and the West Coast fires here in the United States? And I have to tell you, I'm in Mount Shasta right now, and this is a beautiful area. On a clear day, like the beginning of my song from The Who, you can see for miles and miles. Mm-hmm. And it's so pretty. And there's a reason why I play The Who song, by the way, because my purpose of my show is for enlightenment and to raise consciousness. And so that's a metaphor that you can see for miles and miles, hopefully, that see clearly about world what's going on in the world. That's why I like your work so much, Simon. But there's fire south of here. They say the most recent fire was man-made, from a malfunctioning car that caught a bale of hay on fire. I don't know what the truth is. There also have been YouTube videos of particle beam weapons being used by the United States Air Force causing fires as well, which is quite disturbing, because as taxpayers in this great country, we pay for that, and yet they're attacking us. So, you know, it leaves you kind of wondering, but I don't know if you had any information on that, but we'd sure love your opinion.
Okay, well, the thanks, Ted. The question was, how do you stop it? The harsh reality is that, unfortunately, at the moment, you can't directly, because it's not accepted publicly that these things are under the control of any individual. So, you know, if you want to campaign or demonstrate against the closure of a public library, it's very obvious, because you turn up to the public library building and you walk around the block with all your other supporters, and, you know, you have a focal point, and it's very readily understood. But how do you campaign against something that nobody in officialdom accepts is real?
Right.
That's the problem. That's the difficulty. Now, what you can do literally is get a hold of your senator and your congressman and find out what their position is on this. And we had this on my other radio show earlier today, was that if you actually write to that senator or congressman and you say, or congresswoman, of course, and you say, look, what is your stance on this? What's your position on this? Are you taking an interest? And if you don't take an interest, I won't vote for you. Now, somebody might say, look, they don't care about one vote. But if large numbers of people wrote to their elected representatives and said, this is a very serious issue, not just for the people of California, but for all of the United States, because, yes, it's happening in California, but, hey, tomorrow it could be in Oregon, or the day after that it could be in Massachusetts. So it affects every state of the U.S., and either, you know, you guys are all separate states and you don't care about each other, or you are united, as in United States. So it doesn't matter where you live in the US, you should be writing in to your congressman and saying, you may be 500 miles away, but you all go to the same house, you all sit there, you all drink coffee together, and I'm telling you that I don't like this, and unless you do something about it, I won't vote for you. Now, if enough people do that, the pressure is there. And that is, the as it stands at the moment in the 3D world that we have, that is the only influence the ordinary person has in a physical way. Because the media won't run with the story other than this is all an accident. And that is your power, because you do elect your representatives. So that's my best advice at the moment. Now, when, fingers crossed, things begin to change in the US later on in this year, I'm hoping to goodness that we're going to see a complete change in the way that California is continually being beaten up on.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Simon. A very, very astute and profound comments. I know that I've looked at the studies done around the Mount Shasta area, and I don't know who within our government here has been doing it, but they've been spraying chemtrails in this area, including tons of nano-sized aluminum particulate matter. And that's gone into the ecosystem. And what's happened, from what my little knowledge of it, is that the fires, especially with the aluminum spread throughout this area, burn hotter and brighter and catch fire quicker as well. And so you've got that as a factor. There's a fellow named Dane Whittington, wonderful man, a scientist who's been campaigning and trying to educate the public about that here in the area, so that when you get a fire, for example, it burns hotter and brighter and spreads quicker because of that. And it's really troubling to think that they've been doing that. Now, I've been told by the Galactic Alliance that they've been working hard behind the scenes to stop the chemtrailing. And it's a slow process, they said, but there are some areas of the United States where the chemtrailing has either stopped or slowed down. I'm not sure what's happening here in Mount Shasta. It's hard to get good information, but I have a question from Diana here in Mexico. She's from Mexico and she's here in the audience. And she said, a question for you, Simon. Last night she had an experience on the way to Mount Shasta where two beings approached her in her hotel room. She felt their touch. One of them lifted her foot, and when asked what he was doing, he said he was planting microchips in her feet. She got angry at him and then he disappeared. What do you think that might be about, Simon?
Could we have a description of the being, please?
Yes, Diana, could you please describe the being, please?
Well, they were they were humanoids. They were white skin, no hair, kind of large face. They were male, I have that impression. One of them approached me and he told me his name was
Paul.
I woke. This happened around 4 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, Paul is a typical alien name.
And I woke up my two friends who were with me in the hotel room to tell them my experience.
Yeah.
So, but I got angry when they said that this other guy who was near my feet who was lifting, and I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm putting microchips. I said, whose permission do you have to put microchips on my feet? And they disappeared.
Good question.
Yeah. And they immediately disappeared from the room.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Were they 5 foot tall, a little bit taller?
Were they 5 foot tall or a little taller?
how much is that in meters?
Meters, about one and a half meters, a little bit more than one and a half meters.
One seven.
No, perhaps a little taller.
1 7. Meters, 1 7, Ted.
3 centimeters, about 170 centimeters.
There you go, 1 7.
Okay, yeah, that's what they were.
Yeah, fantastic. So about 1 7. Right, okay, they're tall. We call them tall whites, but we don't call them tall whites in the true sense of the word. They were greys. They contain a soul. Under universal law, when asked, what are you doing? They have to be truthful. So they had to tell you what they were doing. That's the way it works. And when the subject questioned their authority, they didn't have that authority, so they disappeared. The technology they would be using would be energetic. So these would be what they call etheric implants. So you're not going to find something the size of a grain of rice in your foot. They'll be energy implants. We don't have the time, but if you were my client, what I would be doing now is asking you about your background, your family, experiences, and then trying to understand what their connection to you is. And then from that, we could work out what the job of the chips were. We do have to be a little bit careful.
I had an interview in February with you, so I am trying, but I will contact you later.
That's fine. What I would just say for the audience is that not every implant is evil. There have been a number of my clients who have been kept alive because certain implants have been placed in their body, because these beings can project the future and they will know that somebody is going to have a heart attack or somebody is going to develop this disease. And so some of these implants are designed to prevent that happening, but other implants are of a negative type. So I just wanted to add that, Ted.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Simon, for explaining that. I'll work with her after the show too. So, oh my goodness. Well, we have a lot of questions here. This first question is Eddie from Hong Kong. Let's see, it's a two-part question. I'll try to boil it down. He wanted to ask you about it. I had Zora of the Hollow Earth on here recently. And Zora had said that all nuclear warheads from nuclear nations on Earth had been disabled, and wanted to know if you could confirm that. And also that there were allegedly no more Anunnakis left on this surface of the planet. That he was interested. That was Eddie from Hong Kong asking those questions.
I can't agree with either of those two statements.
Okay.
What I can agree with is that all nuclear-powered nations have been advised that if they launch a nuclear weapon in anger, then the electronics of that missile will be deactivated and the missile will fall to Earth harmlessly. So yes, in a way they've been deactivated, but I don't want people thinking that the arsenal of nuclear weapons are just nothing. They are still very much alive. But if they were launched and it has to reach a certain height above the base where they're launched from, this is like a no man's land. Once it reaches this independent space, then they would be activated. We had this occur in 1979-1980, both to Great Britain, where the United States had its major nuclear stockpile. This was in the days when they thought the Russians were going to steamroller through Germany, and they had a lot of what we call tactical nuclear weapons stored in Britain, ready to be airlifted to Central Europe to be fired against the Russians. And the Russians had an equal store in a base in the Ukraine. And on the same night, in I think it was either 1979 or 1918, I don't remember now, but both of those two bases, one in the Great Britain, one in the Russia, wasn't the Russian Federation in those days, it was the Union of Socialist Republics, the USSR, both were turned off and deactivated. So that's the first one. The second one about the Anunnaki, the true Anunnaki are not on this planet, but the descendants of the Anunnaki are. And you'd be very hard-pressed to actually define the difference. I'm talking about something that is literally part human and part reptilian, that physically can change. And I don't just mean the eyes changing. That's quite common. I've met people that can, like, an arm will change, you know, to a scaly arm. I'm talking about people that can completely change. Their whole physical body changes, or they literally become 7-8 foot tall. Now, I know that sounds crazy to most people, but that's the reality. Now, those people are still here on the planet. And I'll just give an example of this. If they weren't, the control system on this planet would be different. We would be breaking free. The reason we're still held down is because the same bad guys are still at the top. So there's the evidence. If all the bad guys had gone, we would be actually doing what we should do. So we're not. So therefore, it stands to reason that the bad guys are still there. They're weakening, they're losing their control, but they're still there. Thank you, Ted.
Well, good answer, Simon. I actually know some prime examples. I won't discuss them right at this moment, but everything you said hit home with me and resonated 1,000%. Let's see. We have another. I have another question. I'm not sure where Bonnie from Philadelphia wrote in. And two questions. This is about Anthony Bourdain. A general question: was Anthony Bourdain murdered because he was about to tell about human trafficking? And did Kate Spade have the same? Was it the same thing that happened to her? Both Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain were found with red scarves around their necks. This is from Bonnie in Philadelphia.
You've mentioned two reasonably well publicized cases.
Right.
There have been frighteningly a large number of newspaper men, women, investigators, or those who work for child trafficking support groups or women support groups, people who have a reason to uncover the truth, have been found in what the system would call suicides. There have never been so many people committing suicide investigating the government or an arm of the government. I don't mean White House. I mean this hidden shadowy government. Mm-hmm. Never before have we had so many people, or there have been people who were going to testify against the Clinton Foundation. And this is all documentary fact. It's in the public domain. Number of people over the last recent years who were subpoenaed to go to court to testify against the Clinton Foundation were found dead the very morning they were supposed to go to testify. And you know, there's an official investigation, and it's declared as a suicide.
Right.
The point is, there are vested interests in many countries, and some people are in so deep that they feel that they have, this is their feeling, they've got no alternative but to keep doing these things because they don't believe they'll be forgiven. This is the key. If an individual thinks they've crossed the line and there isn't a single court in the land that will forgive them, then why should they change? Why should they do that? And they will carry on doing this. And this is why there is an argument that for some people, forgiveness is possible, that there is a chance to reconcile and bring the country back together again, to break the division that exists. There are some people that perhaps that forgiveness cannot be given. It's not in my gift to say either way. But I think that as long as the perpetrators believe there's no going back, then they'll keep on doing this. And that's a real big question that we have to think about as we begin to uncover more and more of this wrongdoing. We perhaps have to decide how we deal with it. So yes, the system says suicides, but many of us say that they were murdered.
Sure, sure. That makes, yeah. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. I have another question from Ulrich from Germany. It's a long question, but I'll just paraphrase it for the sake of time. He said that he'd run across articles in a United Nations report detailing pedophilia among UN employees. I won't go into all the details, but just any comments on that would be interesting.
Well, it's unlikely to be a public document. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't come across a report talking about paedophilia that someone's left on a desk, and it just doesn't happen. The only way it would happen is if you were involved in either protecting it or trying to uncover it. Somebody was leaking it. Now, if you have come across a document like that, then your life is in danger, bottom line. Mm-hmm. President Trump has been given a list from a secret coded database, which was held at the National Security Agency's base at Maryland, Fort Maryland, and that was decoded and passed to him. And this was a secret database of high officials who either were being blackmailed because they had taken part in paedophilia things, or they had been organizing them. And this was a list that was passed to President Trump, and President Trump is holding it now as a sort of a bargaining chip, in a way, as part of the big game that's being played. Remember that the United Nations is largely funded by the US and has been since it was created. If the United States of America stopped funding the United Nations, it would collapse. If the United Nation, if the United States stopped funding NATO, NATO would collapse. The US is the biggest paymaster, therefore it has the biggest say. And if you're a country that dominates structures, then if a bad person gets into a position of authority, that bad man can utilize the network that exists for legitimate purposes, but that bad man, that bad guy can use it to pass evil from one country to the next. And that's what we're seeing uncovered now, is this network of evil is far more extensive than most people realize. It's a really good question. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for answering that, and Ulrich from Germany for sending that. Let's see. I have a question from Jenny in Los Angeles. Let me see. It's long, but I want to get kind of – okay, here we go. This is about the new 5G system that the telephone companies are trying to institute here in the United States. I think we may have talked about this before, but she had another question about it. It's that the current standards here in the United States ignore people's health, that there's going to that if the system is instituted, it'll have negative health effects on the American people and anywhere else that it's instituted. I've heard about stories about how the 5G system is actually a system to bring in negative entities, the draconians, the reptilians. Anyway, any thoughts on that would be welcome.
The United States is the greatest country in the world, and it's built on capitalism. Mm-hmm. And that capitalism originally started off as the guy selling horseshoes on the turnpike, and now it ends up as corporations controlling the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, whether they control their lives through the medicines, the pharmaceuticals, whether it's because they control the television networks, whether it's because they control the sports or the news or the finances. This is what we've got. Now, when you get a country that's built on that, then the creation of money and the power of money takes precedent over everything else. 5G offers a revolutionary way to make more money out of people. To those who are not aware, and of course everyone listening to this radio show and knows you, Ted, is aware, but there may be people who just joined or tuned in and it's their first time. Look, when a company makes something, don't think that they sit alone and they say, I've made this, I'm going to go to market and I'm going to do something with it. What they say is, okay, I'm going to share it with my friends in the corporations and they can make things on the back of this. So 5G is nothing unless you've got the latest cell phone that will run 5G or the latest tablet or the latest this or the latest that. So what they do is they present a package. So everybody makes money out of the ordinary people. You don't just go for 5G. You want all the gadgets that will work with it. So 5G is driven by money. That's all it is. The difficulty is that the frequency of 5G is many, many times greater than the frequencies that we have at the moment. And I do not believe that is safe for health. Now, when somebody says to me, oh, yes, but these microwaves pass through your body and don't cause you any problems. And I say, I agree with that. But when you're walking next to something made of metal, those waves are going to bounce back and they're going to fry you. There are, and the audience can do their research, there are a number of people now, insiders, who are working for companies installing the aerials for 5G, and they're coming out and saying this is not safe. There are professional experts now beginning to raise doubts. So my kids are grown up, but if I had school age or college age kids, I would not be happy with this, and I would certainly be knocking on the door of my representative saying that I'm very, very concerned. And I wouldn't accept some bland statement saying that medically it's safe. I just don't believe it. So what I'm saying to you is that 5G, we don't. Why the heck do we need 5G? I've got a cell phone. I can send pictures. I can receive data. I can make phone calls. You know, it's about making money. It's about corporations who, for the last 5 or 6 years, haven't made any more money. And I'll just finish on this, Ted, that the statistics, the cell phone companies, of course, have looked at the future, and they've noted that the sales of cell phones are about to go down because saturation point has been reached. Nearly everybody who wants a cell phone has got one. Mm-hmm. So what they're saying is, how can we get all of these millions of people to throw their cell phone in the bin and buy a new one so we can make lots of money? I know we'll have 5G. It'll be so revolutionary. It's not just the new update cell phone. This is a revolution. You'll throw your old cell phone in the trash and you'll be straight down and buy. It's about making trillions of dollars, but no other reason. Thank you.
Wow, what a good answer. Thank you, Simon, so much for asking that. I have another question from Ambrosia. Nice name. And she says she loves your shows, and she also loves your new kitties. They're beautiful. And then she writes, I'm sincerely sorry about the loss of your dear friend. She asked a question about the light. She said that you've heard you and others talk about the soul trap with the light tunnel. I wonder if it's okay to send trapped souls to the light, or are we actually doing them an injustice by doing so? Should we send them to Source, Supreme Being, instead? Is there a proper way? Or she would love your opinion.
Thank you. Yes, I was very sorry to lose Ingmar. Ingmar was only 12 years old, and I had hoped he would last longer. But he decided quite clearly that his time here was gone, and he had to go. Nevertheless, although we know that the soul lives on, it is the physical body we miss. After all, we are physical ourselves, and so we miss that physical interaction, even though we truly know that the individual doesn't die. All right, let's answer the question. Let's be very, very cautious of Hollywood. Since the 1950s, to my knowledge, Hollywood has shown images of people having near-death experiences, and a tunnel opens up, and the bright light, and they go to the bright light, and maybe there's an angel there to meet them. Hollywood is just literally programming you. The white light is the trap. Remember, all animals that live in the sunshine, and that includes us, we have our daily life, and then at night time when it gets dark, we go to sleep. So we are programmed by the planet, quite rightly so, to sleep at night time and to be active in daytime, because the way our eyes work, we can't see very well at night time. So therefore we are drawn to the light. So there's the trap. We are already genetically programmed to respond to light. So you're drawn to the light, you go to the light, perhaps somebody comes to collect you. Maybe it's Napoleon Bonaparte. Maybe it's Julius Caesar. Maybe it's great Auntie Edgar. Who knows what it is? But someone comes to collect you, takes you up, and before you know it, as we say in Great Britain, before you can say Jack Robinson, zap, you're back here in another body, which actually is okay. What is not okay is we call it the mind wipe. Your whole memory from your previous lifetime is erased. That stops humans developing. If you could go on each time you're on this planet and you remembered what you did in your past life, you wouldn't make the same mistakes. You would advance. And if you were a scientist or a doctor, after two or three incarnations here, your processes, your practices would be unique. You'd be fantastic. If you were a historian, you would be able to write the history in truthful fashion, because you would remember over 300 or 400 years exactly what happened, not what you read in a book. So the reason we have the mind wipe is to prevent humanity discovering who it is. If we discover who we are, we throw off the shackles, we throw off the puppet masters, and we become sovereign. And so please, if you are helping people, send them either to the source, to the creational force, or to the star family. Many people incarnate here who are not Earth humans. Send them back to where they came from. Thank you.
Wow, what a good answer. Thank you so much, Simon. I've wondered about that myself, actually, and it's nice to get your opinion on that. Always interested in the future. What do you see happening for the next 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 years?
I see many, you know, I should put on my crystal, get my crystal ball out and say, see many visits to Mount Shasta. I think what I would say to you is that on one hand, this seems a very, very difficult time, an uphill struggle for the Americans. But on another hand, it is the most exciting time, because boundaries are being pushed. New ideas are coming forward, and it's forcing people to make a choice. And the way they make a choice is indicative of their own selves. So can they see beyond the partisan politics? Can they see beyond the simple control of dollars? What's going to happen is more of the same at the moment, because the human race is being tested and it's fighting to come through and be successful. So for the next 3 or 4 months, there are going to be some very, very interesting happenings. It's all about America. And it sounds awful, because if you're in Canada or Australia, you're thinking, well, when is it our turn? And what I would say to you is, actually, you guys, you wouldn't want to be what's happening in America, because America is going through it was very interesting when Judge Kavanaugh was being interviewed, and a Republican senator was saying he'd never known the country so divided. And you've got to go through this, I'm afraid, you guys. You've got to go through this to come out the other end. So what do I see for the future? I see more difficulty, but ultimately I see job done, a success story, and finally the world the way it should be. But unfortunately, it's the hard work at the moment.
One of the things I'm curious about, Simon, I know we've talked about this before, about the completion of the ascension process into the fifth dimension by the year 2025. And then you said something very interesting. You said a few months ago that we had had our progress had slowed, but we were still on track. Do you see that now as well? Are we making up for lost time now, or are we still kind of muddling through everything?
between now, well, it started about 3 or 4 weeks ago, until December, the first day in December, we are catching up. We're going to go through a very difficult time in December of this year. We'll slow down again. And then in January, we will speed up again. So we were, in my reckoning, we had fallen behind our schedule. But in these next 3 months, we will regain. So we'll be back up to where we should be. Then in December, we will fall back a bit. Then we'll, this is what's happening. It's not a smooth, gentle movement. It's a move forward a little bit and then stop or go back a bit, then move forward. It's very stop start. That is because energy waves are hitting us. We're going through it. And then the bad guys try to do something on the planet which conflicts with our own intentions and it muddles us a little bit. We get very confused and then we're knocked off balance a bit and then we come back again. So this is what we're seeing. It's a general moving forward, but it's not as fast as it should be. I'm still going to go for 2025, but that could actually be less than that, depending what happens in the United States of America and the rest of this year.
Okay, well, thanks so much for sharing that. I just had another idea. Do you have a crystal ball, Simon, that you use? No. We have about 1,000 people here. Well, maybe 30 or so. But what I was thinking of doing, there's a wonderful crystal shop here in town. And after the show, I'm going to take my group with me, and we're going to go over to a crystal shop, and we're going to, I think it'd be fun to all contribute to buy you a nice crystal ball that you could use in your work.
And you could that is really kind. That's better. Really, it's really lovely, but I don't, that's really super. And that's really kind, but no, I don't use a crystal ball. Okay. That's not how I communicate or connect. I do love crystals. There are certain crystals that I'm drawn to. Remember that the really true aliens, the extra-dimensional aliens, not the ETs, not the extraterrestrials, but the extra-dimensionals, they use crystal technology, just as the women on Atlantis did all those thousands of years ago. And so crystals can be used and are used, but in my own particular way, I don't use crystals like that. I love chocolate. If anybody ever comes to visit me, then don't bring me a crystal ball, just bring me some nice chocolate. Thank you.
Okay, well, if you could later, just go ahead and email me your postal address. We'll find you some nice chocolate today. And I can't control the free will of the people here in this room, so that if we go to a crystal shop here this weekend, and if they see something they think you may like, if you can send me your postal address, we may send it to you. Those are the couple of, you know, things that I have to tell you, so it may happen. I don't
know. All right, I'm very happy to do that. You know, any gift that is ever sent is always lovingly received in the way that it's intended. Thank you. So listen, Ted, go on.
Yeah, we'll go to the post office here. We'll hire a secret government agent in a blue uniform and have him or her deliver it to you.
So, okay, I think that they will have a problem probably delivering that, but. Thank you ever so much. Listen, Ted, it's lovely to speak to you. I'm really glad that you've got another group. You know, it's a very special place. And God bless to you and God bless to all your group and God bless to all your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I want everyone to say happy birthday, Simon, now. Please say happy birthday, Simon.
Happy birthday, Simon.
Oh, how lovely. I'm sorry that I can't be with you, but thank you.
Well, you're here in spirit, Simon, and I hope you have a wonderful and happy birthday. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye-bye, Simon. Take care. Oh, that was so good to talk to Simon in England, thanks to the miracle technology. We're taking a short break here in a few seconds, and then we'll be bringing on Judy Kelly, one of America's best psychics, to channel Adama. And I also have Brian Tillman.
Tillman,
yeah. He's a wonderful psychic here. He's in touch with the masters here at Mount Shasta. So please stay tuned. We're broadcasting live today from beautiful Mount Shasta, one of the world's most spiritual places.